So in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Really quickly, we are about to enter the tithe of the year according to Dorotheus of Gaza. This is a great monk who we studied a few years ago. He died in the year probably 630. He called this the tithe of the year. And on this Sunday, what we're talking about are two things that don't seem like they relate right off the bat, but they do. This is the exile from the garden. Theology about that really matters. The idea in the garden is that we turned our back on God. We tried to be God without God. We exiled ourselves. No one had to kick us out. And in our confession, we understand that God does not say, eat of this fruit, go your own way, try to become God, and I'll kill you. He does not say that. He says, if you do this, the consequence of this is that you die. And we've been dying ever since. And so on this Sunday, the church wants us just to at least reflect on a moment, because the journey that we are about to take is those of us who are endeavoring to try to make our ways back to paradise, nay, beyond paradise. Because our destiny wasn't in the garden. It was in Eden. It was a place of delight. It was a place of communion. But we messed it up immediately. And God knew we would. And so the whole story here is God coming down to rescue us, getting into our lives in front of us to forgive us and love us and drag us into His kingdom. And He knows that He's going to have to take on flesh Himself. That's how intimately He's going to have to unite us, so He can crawl into death and pull us out of it. He'll obliterate the power of death, and He'll do all of this through the means of forgiveness. Sin horo, which you'll hear Him say from the cross. Father, forgive them. Sin horo, or co-space, or even if it's properly used these days, really co-fit, or co-make space for. Horo, I make space. All of this is accomplished because of the forgiveness of God, which is not some activity He does, even though He's angry. There is no dissonance between the person of God and how He acts. So the forgiveness of God is a revelation of who He is as a person. But if we go back to Dorotheus of Gaza, we'd say this is also called the Sunday of Forgiveness. Why are we talking about the Sunday of Forgiveness and forgiving one another? On the same Sunday, we're talking about the expulsion from the garden. What is going on here? How do these two relate? Well, you'd say, simply put, we turned our backs on God and we decided not to be in communion with Him. And if you ever read those first three chapters of Genesis in their original language, what you'll note there is in the very same breath, it's actually, when you write it out, there's a comma, but actually the two things are said right up next to each other. He says, it's the woman you gave me that you made. In other words, he doesn't just break communion with God. Adam breaks communion, or tries to anyway, with the person sitting right beside him. Your fault and your fault, not my fault. And in this loss of communion, the whole world is dragged into the mess that it is. And we sense this. We sense this in war and in injustice and in inequality and in difficulty and abuse and in oppression. The whole story of the world is us having broken communion with God, trying to be gods ourselves, and that hasn't worked. And then think of what we'll do is if we can conquer the people around us or buy them or quid pro quo them or whatever it is, we can face what it is to have communion. And neither one of these paths work. And so on this Sunday, it shows us the way back. And we'll go back again to Dorotheus of Gaza. He says, I want you to notice something. He says this to his disciples. He's giving a homily on not judging others. It's in the book of his instructions. And just so you know that this is kind of hard to think about in your head, he actually tells them when he's saying this, strain yourselves, try to listen to what he's saying. He says, imagine drawing a dot in the middle of a ground and then putting a big circle around it. And he said, what the saints have done is like being dots on this outer perimeter of this circle, moving towards God, the center point. He says that as these dots get closer and closer to God, they get closer and closer to each other. The saints have revealed to us the closer we draw to God, the more we struggle to get into His space, it will necessarily require us to sin horo, to forgive other people and pull them into our space. It is impossible, he says, to try to move towards God and to say, I hate my neighbor, I don't like that person. It doesn't work. He says, this is delusion. In order to move towards God, we have to move towards each other. And in moving towards each other, we're moving towards God. So the Sunday of Forgiveness is about us getting into each other's space. And by the way, this isn't just about forgetting, you know, not being, you know, holding grudges. This is an impossible task. It's a miraculous task. It's about really loving people and forgiving them and trying to get back in each other's space. And so on this Sunday, as we begin the tithe of the year, we think about our expulsion from Eden by our doing and not God's. We're reminded that this journey, all of Lent, in order for this to be a true journey towards God, of accepting His forgiveness and moving into His space, we first have to begin by forgiving each other. And to a person who will say tonight, okay, I've got some people I need to apologize to, but why am I forgiving and asking for forgiveness from everybody in the room? Everyone from Dostoevsky to all the way to Ephraim the Syrian will say, it's because there's no such thing as a private sin. There's no such thing as a private offense that didn't somehow infect and pollute the whole universe. Everything we've done, even in the quiet of our room, when we think nobody's watching, it affects the whole universe. And so to that end, they could not think of a more Christian thing to do than to do what Christ does. Put that on me. Forgive me for what I have done. To contribute to the mess. Now for those as we're about to begin this process, which seems like a crazy statement to say, but that's what Christ did. Christ is guilty of no sin. But He does it. He takes it on Himself. We know that as we're about to go through this journey, we're about to go through fasting and praying and confession. Hopefully we're all doing this. Fasting, praying, confessing, all these things. We're going to take a quote that Zezulus said to close this out. Zezulus is the metropolitan of Pergamum, and he said this about a guy named Anastasios of Sinai. Anastasios of Sinai says, maybe the most detrimental sin a human being can struggle with is not forgiving other people. He said, is holding grudges. He said, because you see, there are certain sins a person can commit that happen in an instant and they might feel the pain, but it's done. Happen in an instant, they deal with the regret. Happen in an incident, they have to deal with all the consequences. And he says, but holding a grudge against a person is a sin that it continually inflicts a wound on the heart and stops the person from growing towards God because we're resisting everybody else around us. It's like a person is screaming to be rescued in the water and they're pushing everybody away. And so he actually says this, where we do this, he writes, quote, nothing will avail towards salvation. He says, not prayer, not fasting, not virginity, not charity, nothing will avail if we cannot move past this and start to love each other. It's quite a statement. As a person's about to go through the tithe of the year, I've got all these things lined out, and Anastasios of Sinai will say, but if we cannot do it while forgiving others, we're like a clanging cymbal. It's done without love, and it doesn't produce anything. And then he says to a person, however, in the back of the room, who said, Father's talked way too long, I'm struggling with forgiveness now, they might go, well, what does that matter? I can't keep vigil anyway. I struggle with virginity. I struggle with charity. I can barely fast. I can barely pray. He goes, well, then consider this. Maybe you struggle with those. And be careful, because those are deadly and will kill you. We have to get away from those. He says, however, even if a person struggles with these, but they endeavor to forgive their brother and to love their enemy, he says they are not far from heaven and cannot be denied the kingdom of God. So as we begin this whole story, we're reminded of this expulsion that we did, and we feel it. We feel it in the war and the death and the mess of the world that we've made it. We feel it every time somebody dies. We know something wrong has happened here. As we begin the journey of greater holiness and greater fidelity and uniting ourselves to God, we recognize it has to begin first with a real effort towards forgiveness. And folks, we're not thinking about, it might be difficult to say to somebody, that person cut me off, I'm mad. Some of us in this room, and certainly Christians in the history of the world, have had to forgive some mighty, horrific things in the history of this world. Things that are unimaginably evil, unimaginably cruel. And the saints who have gone before us have demonstrated an impossible ability to say, I still forgive this person. Now, if you're like the unworthy priest, that's a long way off. But the journey can begin by saying, I forgive you. I'm going to try to forgive you. I'm going to do this. And if it gives anyone strength, it is impossible. Saint Silouan of Athos said, "This is the greatest miracle, to love our brother, to forgive him, and to love our enemy. But take heart, Christians, because Jesus Christ has done this, and because he has become one of us, he has made it possible that we can do this miracle too, by his grace and by his love. That we can grow in forgiveness towards one another and grow towards God and then experience the paradise, the Eden, the kingdom of God, which is itself to be in the same space with God and the person across from us." Good strength during this Lenten season. To God be the glory.
You descended from on high, O compassionate one. You submitted to a 3-day burial, that you might free us.